previously on Talk to Dad.
Pablo Escobar's Cocaine Hippos.
Broken toilet means SpaceX crew is stuck using diapers.
Don't mess with me, I'm immortal.
I think you're supposed to say no, but I want to say yes.
Let me think about this.
He's a spy for Santa.
He is creepy looking, too.
That's like the worst kind of girlfriend.
No, I'm rat woman. Rat girl.
Apocalypse. So, I cannot talk. So, apocalyptic. Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic.
Queen All right, Todd. Goodbye, guys. Episode over.
Delicious? Would you call it delicious?
Yes, why not?
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 261. I've got Will here with me.
Yes.
And Hello. Also Santi.
Hi, everyone.
Another weekly episode.
How are you guys?
Pretty good.
We've got a big update that we previewed last podcast. Will now owns in his possession a license to drive.
I do. That's true.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that came to be?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't have the actual, like, hard, like, plastic copy. Right now, I just have, like, the paper.
The temporary one they print off until the real one comes in the mail.
Yeah.
I gotta say, the picture looks pretty good. For a government ID picture, it looks pretty good.
I think it does, yeah. I feel like I did a little bit too much of, like a cool guy smolder, but...
Yeah. You went all the way to Paris to get
accident.
It.
Yeah, Paris, Texas. Yep. So that was pretty
the
crazy.
Actual Paris.
Yeah, I took a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower.
It's like an Eiffel Tower, but it's like the height of Big Tex and like has a little cowboy hat on it.
Yes. Did you know they also built one in Paris, France?
Dang.
I think they copied it.
Yeah, they must have ripped us off.
It looks very much similar.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they shouldn't copy.
Freaking ripped us off, dang it. Yeah, I have been to both, by the way.
Which one did you find the most impressive?
I don't know. That Paris, Texas Eiffel Tower is pretty cool. I mean, it's got like a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
It's a cowboy hat. You cannot avoid the cowboy hat.
No. Yeah. You cannot go inside it. It's just like a sculpture.
So I think last podcast you talked about the driver test. Driver's test. Do you have anything more to add about that? Or should we just talk about you driving out to Paris and getting the license?
Whew, man, that was... That was a
little
wild
bit
ride.
Of an intense weekend.
It was not stressful driving to, I wasn't driving. Mom was driving to Paris, Texas. We just like, I don't know, we just talked about stuff and I jammed out to Mom's liked songs on Spotify. There's some good songs on there. I waited there. My mom told me like, well, no, actually, I think it was a lady there who said, like, you can go by yourself, you're an adult. And I was like, oh, okay. I, like, went up there and, like, gave her stuff. And, like, she was being super, super nice and sweet. And I think Mom joked that, like, she half expected her to, like, give me a hug at the end or something.
Yeah, we have this problem in Texas where all of the DMVs, the Department of Motor Vehicle offices that are near the big cities, are always super packed. Like, even if you have an appointment, you end up waiting for hours and hours and hours. And so what a lot of people do, including our family, is you drive out to like a smaller town like Paris, Texas, and get your license there, which is why you drove. It's about, 2.5 hours away?
Something like that.
Something like that.
So I got my license. We saw the Eiffel Tower, the original not actually the original, but the cooler one.
The Texas Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Let's just say
And we went to, this doesn't sound that special, but we went to this burger place in Bonham, which is actually where I got my
permit. Which is a town
permit.
A little bit closer than Paris.
Yeah, that's where I got my permit. Because I was like, yeah, it's not quite time to eat lunch. The person at that burger shop had like the thickest Southern accent ever. He was saying like, well, hope you're having a little darn good day. And he's talked in this like really low accent. It's really
have you
like,
ever
deep
heard
accent.
Boom Hauer from King of the Hill. Do you know the show King of the Hill? Do either of you know the show King of the Hill?
No, I don't think so.
So King of the Hill was a show by Mike Judge that was like, he was the guy who did, he's done a lot of things like Silicon Valley and Office Space. And he was first famous for Beavis and Butthead, but he did a show called King of the Hill that was like, an animated show that was on Fox, and it was about just like Texans. Like, it took place in this fictional town called Arlen, but a lot of people said it's probably Garland, mm-hmm. which was close to where we used to live. But there was this character on it called Boomhauer, and his accent is great because you can't really tell what he's saying unless you listen really closely. Just going to see if I can YouTube some of his clips. This one is called Best Boomhauer Moments. Let me see if this will work.
Hey, Hank. You know, I've been thinking about y'all and y'all dang old bottom and all what's going to get moving again. I think y'all ought to go jogging and swimming in a water bunch, man. It's going to be bad having you pooping just
it was
like
that.
Man. I know it's going to work.
It's like that, but deeper.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I tell you what, fat kid's always a funny one, man. Is
it that's what it's
Candy,
like. Yeah.
John Belushi.
Okay, yeah, that's really funny.
That's exactly what it was like. But like with yeah. a... like lower pitch, like he was literally saying like, "Well, I hope you have gosh darn little darn good day." It was so thick, and like
I have to say, I have met like people who have this accent that I thought it was a parody, but it's not. There is people who exist.
No,
and
there are definitely people that talk like that.
Yeah, it was so funny. There was like a person there to like open the like thing of sodas, which I thought was like a little weird, but I was like, okay. I think the best part. Maybe tied with the accent was near the restaurant. There was like a field of cows, and it's so funny because there's like a sign for like burgers, and then you look down, and it's a whole bunch of cows.
Yeah, you gotta keep in mind, some cow gave its life so you could be eating that burger.
Yeah, I asked mom if like the burgers were actually made from the cows, and she said like no, there's no way they are.
Particular cows.
Yeah, the cows were like staring at us as we ate though, which felt
making you feel kind of guilty.
Yeah. It was, that was a surreal experience, I gotta say.
Yeah.
I mean, you can feel a bit guilty, but then you take a bite and just taste that.
Just know that it's delicious.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's how I feel, you know. I understand vegetarianism and veganism.
Yeah.
And if someone wants to do that, I have no problem with it, but I just keep coming back to the fact that it's just so tasty.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Well, at some point, it makes sense in eco-friendly ways, but also, yep. As humans, we need at least a bit of meat.
Yeah, it's just good.
We are omnivores.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ways around it, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah, exactly. It claimed to be like the best burgers around. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Me and mom just split one.
So speaking of being omnivores, Santi, you had the first Thanksgiving dinner in the United States. The other day,
yeah,
we had Thanksgiving. It's funny because I thought that would be your first Thanksgiving dinner, but you told me no, that's not the case. You've had Thanksgiving dinner before.
I have had Thanksgiving dinner before. Well, in Spain we have also. So the only thing that you will find there that is really similar to here is that the turkey is normally the main thing, but it's not necessary. Like there is some years that we have had like goat or... like, ooh. Pork.
Dang.
Like, haven't you eaten goat?
I've had goat in, like, Indian food.
Yeah. But... Allison does not like goat that much, so we don't have
like
it very often.
It's really
sometimes
delicious.
Sometimes we'll eat it. I like it, and I like... it's funny because I think in the United States, they make a distinction between goat and lamb. A lot of countries, it's kind of the same thing. Lamb is, like, a little more... I don't know. Easier to eat. Goat tends to have a stronger flavor.
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
So, we have also kind of the distinction words, but I only learned goat for English because it's really easier.
Uh-uh.
But
yeah.
Basically, you're eating like a really young goat.
Yeah.
So the meat is not really hard. It's more like soft meat.
Mm-hmm.
But with one small goat, like you can feed a lot of people much more than with a turkey and much cheaper.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just more convenient.
So, I've got a question about that. Is Thanksgiving something that a lot of people in Spain celebrate, or is it just your family? Because, you know, you've had both your mom and your older brother have been exchanged into the United States.
No, it's a normal thing, the completely normal thing in Spain.
So lots of people in Spain might get together for a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, no, it's completely normal, and it's more like it's like here.
Yeah, and they celebrate the same time we celebrate, I guess, right?
I'm not roughly. Completely sure. Yeah, roughly. I think it might be like some days off because time changed a bit between countries, yeah. But
I'm not going to lie. In terms of the food, I've had slightly better Thanksgiving dinners. It was pretty good.
That's hard.
That is.
Wow, you say that to the cook.
Okay, no, I'm not throwing shade. All of it was really good.
Spend a lot of time on that food.
Oh.
Okay, no, I mean,
don't make your dad cry. You're poor dad.
Okay, all of it was really good. Maybe it was just the fact that we didn't have those, like, special Thanksgiving drinks. I don't know.
There is a special Thanksgiving drinks?
Also, like,
sometimes we make special, like, punch or something.
Or it might be, like, I don't know if it looked super, like, visually attractive.
I think it looked like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, it looks perfect.
There's some
we
really
had
good stuff,
two
though.
Different kinds of turkey. I smoked a turkey and I roasted a turkey.
Turkey was really good.
We had two other families over. We had three if you count my brother and his wife, but it was just them, so they didn't bring the rest of their family. But then there were two other families, so that's why we cooked a lot of food.
It was really nice having people over.
I have to say the roasted one was way better than the smoked one.
You like the roasted one?
Yeah.
My personal opinion, I liked the light meat, the white meat on the roasted one better, and I liked the dark meat on the smoked one better. Because the dark meat on the smoked one really takes the flavor of the smoke. But I liked them both. I thought the smoked one was a little bit drier, but I don't know. I enjoyed both of them.
I should have eaten more.
Made some good dressing. There was a lot of good food there. I'm looking at you sideways. There was a lot of good food.
The more I reflect on this, the more I'm realizing, like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff that I wasn't having as much of that I should have had more of. Like, I should have had more mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce.
I made a dressing. Sometimes you might call it a stuffing, but I didn't stuff it in the bird. I made dressing for the first time ever, like, totally from scratch. Like, I actually made the bread that the breadcrumbs came from. And I made the turkey stock that was used in it.
Wait, dressing?
Cut up all the vegetables. Yeah, dressing.
I've never heard it called that.
Well, a lot of people make the distinction that to be stuffing, you have to stuff it and cook it inside the bird. But a lot of people call it stuffing, even if you don't stuff the bird with it. But some people say if it's outside the bird, it's called dressing. But
yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
I thought
that was pretty good. I thought the gravy was really good.
It's a possibly former tradition for us to, like, have these little crayons to, like, write on the
tablecloth. Three different tables set up. We had our kitchen table, our dining table, and then we set up, like, a big, long plastic buffet table that we cover with a tablecloth. And then, like, we put down paper. So
yeah, we don't draw on the actual
on the
kids'
tables, not on the adult table, but on the kids' tables, we put down, like, butcher paper and set out a bunch of crayons, and there was a lot of art going on.
I think this time that it was on the adult table too.
It wasn't in the one in the dining room. We didn't have any paper there.
Yeah. At first we were making, like, some cool stuff, and, like, some of us started playing MASH. Then we started
MASH being that fortune telling game that, like, young kids and teenagers play.
Yeah, one girl asked, like, hey, I'm gonna do this for, like, you and you and you. That was kind of fun. Then we all started somehow just, like, scribbling, like, a whole bunch of scribbles with the crayons and making this, like, psychedelic artwork of just a whole bunch of patches of crayons.
It was like this massive graffiti on the plastic buffet table, and there were actually some really good drawings on the kitchen table. For
yeah.
Some impressive
yeah.
drawings.
There was kitchen really impressive cool. ones. Like, there wasn't a skeleton.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
Elizabeth drew a skeleton character. Maybe I took pictures of it. Maybe I will post some pictures of our Halloween doodling and artwork.
I took a picture. I tried taking a panorama of our table. Like, after it, I think we named it, like, Teenage Angst or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It said Teenage Angst on it.
Yeah,
it's a little hard to see, but yes.
I tried taking a picture of it using a panorama, but ended up being all, like, weird and distorted, and it basically I just created, like, a psychedelic album artwork or whatever. It looked really weird.
Yeah. And then after dinner, we had so many pies. We had a lot of pies and a few other desserts. And we've come, unfortunately, to the sad realization that Santi does not like pie.
Yeah, really sad.
I don't understand that at all. I like pie better than I like cake.
Oh, I was super excited that you start trying pies, and I was like, no, I don't like this one. Let's try another one. No, this is awful.
See, there's so many...
Did you find a dessert you liked?
Well, the desserts were mostly pies.
That's true. There were a couple of other ones. I think there were... I don't know.
See, there's so many different types of pie, though. Like, there's the pie that has, like, the creamy...
Yeah, there's like cream pies, and there's fruit pies, and there's pecan pies. There's lots of different kinds of pies.
Like apple pie is a lot different than like a pumpkin pie or a
coconut
cream pie, even.
Yep.
I don't know.
I got so full, though. One of the things I was a little disappointed in Thanksgiving is, you know, you spend all this time on this meal, and you think, oh, I'm just going to eat so much. And I loaded up with my plate. But after eating like a plate full of food, I like really didn't have any more room. I ate like a little bit of seconds, but I really couldn't eat that much.
It's much weird food. Like how much, like just one plate can go.
I did eat quite a bit of pie later on though.
In Spain, a lot of people do this in winter when there is these old banquets of a lot of food. That is that they don't take breakfast, they don't take dinner, and at they don't take lunch, and at dinner, they take all that they can.
Yeah.
It's way unhealthier, but they take like much more food.
So they just skip a couple of meals and then have a really big one?
Exactly. Yeah.
The problem with me when I do that is I feel like my stomach shrinks when I don't eat. And then like when I go to eat a lot, it's like I just can't fit that much in there.
Mm, yeah, I kind of get that. It was actually kind of stressful seeing like the ridiculous amount of pies just completely covering our counter. Just because I was thinking, well, no, just a little bit, because I was thinking, like, I'm not going to be able to try all of these.
Oh, I guess I can kind of see that. You're like, I would like to try all of these, but I know like, I'm not going to be able to.
It wasn't, like, actually stressed.
You're going to have to pick and choose.
It was kind
of. We also have a family tradition. I think this is a lot of people have the same tradition, that the day after Thanksgiving, for breakfast, you have pumpkin pie.
Mm. Or any pie.
And pumpkin pie makes a pretty good breakfast.
Henry's,
if you like pumpkin pie.
The pecan pie that Henry made. I'm not a huge fan of pecan pie. It was really good, though.
His pecan pie was really good. I was very disappointed in my pie crust. For some reason, I can cook like a lot of different kinds of food, and I've gotten pretty good at cooking a lot of kinds of food, but pie crust is something I've never been able to quite master.
Mm-hmm.
My pie crust just never turned out quite right.
It seems like a confession that we are having here.
I know. I feel like I need to like try and make a pie.
You have to redeem yourself.
Until I can get it right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Santi has to have all of them.
Yeah, thank you.
Would you like, have you ever had like a meat pie, like a chicken pot pie or something that's like got meat stew in it?
Yeah.
Would you like that? Is that something you would like?
Well, my grandma would make like some of these meat pies. Mm-hmm. And some of them would be like actually really good if you use like that thing that turns like semi-bread. The crust,
mm-hmm.
It's a bit weird to explain, but yeah, meat pies are really good.
Or like, do you know what a quiche is?
Mm.
Okay, it's like pretty good. With egg and cheese and a pie crust. It's like a French food, but
they might
have something like that. Anyway, I feel like I need to keep making pie crusts until I'm good at it, but maybe I'll just never be good at it.
Now I'm debating in my head over whether... pizza really is a type of pie or not?
No.
I mean...
Well, you know, the Chicago deep dish pizza, it kind of is like a pie.
That's definitely a pie.
But like just a regular flatbread pizza, it's just flatbread.
Yeah, I mean, pizza... pies usually aren't super flat, so...
Like that?
No, this is interesting. What is this called?
This is called fiambre. It's like
fiambre
made that...
de pollo.
It has like meat, and inside the meat, you can find like eggs, like parts of eggs.
Interesting. It kind of looks like a meatloaf covered in, I don't know, is that?
Sometimes it's like bread like things.
There's like a boiled egg in the middle of it.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It's a Christmas thing.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think there's that much like savory Christmas food in the U.S.
There are some.
Maybe like
people eat
tamales, but
you know, usually you have a. There's not like one thing that everyone eats at Christmas the same way there is at Thanksgiving.
Sometimes
people have a turkey for Christmas dinner, and sometimes they have like a beef roast.
People give Thanksgiving
or I don't know.
People give Thanksgiving a bad rep, but like the Christmas dinner would not exist if it weren't for Thanksgiving dinners. Like the Christmas dinner steals so much stuff from Thanksgiving dinners.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, there's like the tamales on Christmas Eve, but like a Christmas dinner can have like turkey and like mashed potatoes and like stuff like this and all the stuff that like the Thanksgiving dinner already did. Not that it's bad, but like,
I suppose.
I don't know.
So today I set up the Christmas tree. And I felt a little bad because it seems like this year, especially, and this was true last year too, but I figured last year it was just because it was we were in the pandemic. Maybe that's still the case, but it seemed like everyone put up their Christmas tree decorations very early this year. And I was feeling really guilty about not having any Christmas decorations. I still don't have any Christmas lights put up outside. I was hoping to get some of that done. Maybe I'll do a little bit tomorrow. But we did put up the Christmas tree. And I put the train around the Christmas tree, which I haven't done for maybe a year or two.
Sounds like a vacuum.
And we have a Maisie update.
Such a good sound effect.
I knew it had been a while since Maisie had seen the train. And I was wondering if she'd have a different reaction this time. No, she has the same reaction. She does not like the train. It's one of two things. Either she hates the train and wants to kill it, or she thinks the train is a toy for her and therefore she gets to chew on it. But she will attack the train.
She attacks the train aggressively in the front light.
Yes. Especially the lights. Yeah. The locomotive that's got the light at the beginning and the caboose in the back that lights up. She just goes right for that light and tries to bite it.
Imagine what it would be like being on that train. I guess just never really getting to your destination, just like swirling around to infinity looking up and seeing this gigantic foul beast chasing you.
It's like a metaphor for life. It's like an existential metaphor for life.
Exactly.
You're just going round in circles and then sooner or later a giant beast comes and attacks you.
Yeah, what a terrifying thing that has his eyes, like crazy eyes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of complexity to be found in Maisie attacking the Christmas train.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a rejection against capitalism and materialism.
It might be that. And right at the base of a Christmas tree, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's literally
where all the presents will go. You put the presents in the middle, and then you just circle around and around the Christmas tree.
It's supposed to be ironic. Yeah.
Yes. Maisie's over there in her kennel right now, but yeah, she has strong reactions. I could run the train if I just looked at her and kind of told her to leave it alone, but she doesn't seem to like it, or she just wants to destroy it. And yeah. It doesn't take much for her to bump it off the track, so she can kill it.
Yeah, definitely.
Other things have been going on. So we are about halfway through this season of Doctor Who, right? I think there's only going to be how many episodes?
There's only two more, actually.
Oh, yeah. So we're most of the last way one's through. Coming out tomorrow. This is called Doctor Who Flux.
Yeah.
It's like a shortened season. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's like it's kind of like a serial, but like bigger because it's like all one continuous story.
It's all
story.
One overall overarching story. Like each episode kind of concentrates on a different threat.
Apparently because of the pandemic, like they had to do a shorter season. So
yeah. What do you think of it so far? You both have been watching it.
So
I can tell you both have opinions.
The first two episodes I really liked, and I felt like, okay, this feels like Doctor Who. This is like a huge step up. The last two episodes, I'm not completely sure what to think of.
Yeah, it kind of depends on how they end it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they end it well, then maybe these episodes will make more sense.
Mm-hmm. I really don't think so.
No?
I just think that this Doctor is not really good Doctor. It's unsavable. Like, I think that right now, there is only this side character that I love. I always forget his name.
Dan.
Dan.
Dan's great.
I just love Dan, but I don't really like this Doctor.
I like Jodie Whittaker fine. I think she's a okay Doctor. I think sometimes the writing has been better than others.
Yeah. She's not a charismatic Doctor. Like other doctors that with messy hair and more like crazy looking.
Who's your favorite one?
The 11th.
David Tennant. No, David Tennant's a 10th, right? Matt Smith was the 11th. Yeah, I think David Tennant was my favorite, the 10th Doctor. So it was the second one after they rebooted.
It's my second. Favorite as well.
My favorite is Peter Capaldi as the 12th Doctor, but only in the last season.
Yeah,
he like gets better and better, and starts out not very good.
I thought Peter Capaldi did an okay job. I thought the writing was a little weird in some of his seasons.
Yeah, but his last season, he was really good on. When he was like, he became like a college professor.
Call me a traditionalist, but I thought it was weird when they did away with his sonic screwdriver. Instead, he had like sonic sunglasses. I thought that was strange.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Me and mom agree that we actually really like the sonic sunglasses.
The sonic screwdriver.
It's classic.
Yeah, you can't get
it
rid
does,
of
like,
that.
It does like everything. It just sort of is a...
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense, but it's still, it's a classic.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but when the sunglasses, when they used the sunglasses, it was super weird because he would move the glasses and it would be like super, super weird.
Man, if you look at the like compilations of every use of the sonic screwdriver, it's like in the classic series in like the 60s and 70s and 80s, and I guess the movie in the 90s that no one liked. It's like the sonic screwdriver appears like once every few episodes, and like sometimes it would go missing for a while and stuff like that. And then in the new series, it's literally used to solve like every problem.
Yeah.
It's just a magic wand.
I mean, it's like the identity card that he has. Like,
yeah, the psychic paper.
Exactly. You won't see it.
I like the psychic paper.
You won't see it a lot, but in some episode, you will see it and you will say like, oh, that's tough again. That's really nice.
My favorite trope about the psychic paper is just when the doctor pulls it out. And then a person looks at it and says what it is. And then the doctor kind of looks at it and goes, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just makes me laugh.
Or that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah. Apparently it's canon that the doctor's like pockets in his clothing are bigger on the inside, which explains why the doctor, I guess he or she, can also have like a stethoscope and like a glass of water, or like the snow globe appears a few times.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that.
So, yeah, I've enjoyed it. I don't know. It's been pretty good. I kind of like a shortened season because I feel like sometimes when it's a long season, there are going to be a few stinker episodes no matter what doctor or who the writer is.
Overall, I do really like it. I like the overarching villains. I do kind of feel like I feel like they do need to explain slightly more of what's going on than they have been. Yeah. They can't save it all until the final episode.
I feel like if you're only going to do... So how many episodes total? Like six?
Six,
eight,
yeah.
Six episodes. If you're only going to do six episodes, you really have to do well with the ending, because you've got to make sure... If it's telling one story, you've got to tell it well in a way that makes sense. If we get to the end and it's just sort of rushed and like, and the Doctor saves the world, then you don't really understand what happened. That would be a big failure.
That would be a really big failure.
But if they do it well, it could be really good. I don't know.
But I don't really have a lot of hopes in this Doctor to get better. I just have hope that they give Dan more screen time.
Dan is so great. Apparently he's kind of a fan favorite.
I bet Dan is a companion they'll follow over to the next season. That's my guess. I don't know if that's true or not.
So,
because we know this is Jodie Whittaker's last season. And
well,
is this Chris Chibnall's last season,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Russell T. Davies is coming back.
Oh, that's right.
This, yeah.
The guy who originally rebooted the series.
Yeah, which is really... Apparently a lot of fans are really excited about that.
Yeah.
But there's going to be like a few specials for the 13th Doctor next year. They're kind of going to do like what they did with the 10th Doctor.
Like a Christmas special.
Yeah, and like a... Like all the weird special, like there's an Easter special for the 10th Doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they've done that before, have they?
They did that for the 10th Doctor. It was like Planet of the Dead, I think.
Oh yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah. I really like it so far though. I think my favorite is either the Weeping Angel episode, which I kind of need to rewatch to like settle what I think about it, or the Santarin episode is great. It's really fun.
There were things I liked about the Weeping Angel episode. I thought the setup was pretty good. My problem with the Weeping Angels is my favorite episode of Doctor Who ever, one of my favorite episodes of TV ever, was the original Blink, where the first episode with the Weeping Angels. I just thought it was really well done.
I
feel like everything since then, they're an okay villain, but they haven't been consistent. Like,
no.
What the Weeping Angels do changes every time they reintroduce them. It's not consistent.
Well,
the Daleks are consistent, the Cybermen are consistent. The Weeping Angels are just sort of like whatever they want them to be for that episode.
Well, the whole like image of an angel thing was in Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone.
Yeah. I mean, it's not totally different, but it's like it's changing just a little bit.
Yeah.
So much that it feels just like
it's annoying.
Different from what it was in the original Blink episode. Because it was, I thought like in Blink, it was totally this new thing.
Yeah.
And it worked really well.
And also, it was like, they are super original villains. Like,
yeah.
Normally you wouldn't find something like that. You don't know what do they want. You just don't have to blink. It's simple and super awesome.
They did.
And it's a really cool concept, like in the very first episode, because you're like, how terrifying is it to have this villain that like, as long as your eyes are open, you're fine. But as soon as you, it's a little bit like Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, don't go to sleep or he'll invade your dreams. Except it's even worse because you can't even blink.
Yeah, they did follow all the rules that were in Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone. They just like, I kind of feel like the angels started out very simple. Just like, don't look away. And like, sometimes they can like control lights or whatever. They zap you back in time. I feel like they've become too like, other villains where like they can like talk through other people and like they can be like calculated and stuff like that instead of just being like these creatures that just zap you back in time.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like when they're very simple and mysterious, they're best.
The other thing I want to talk just briefly about was there's a new Disney Plus show. We watched the first two episodes of Hawkeye, I think on Wednesday when they came out.
Oh, yeah.
Thoughts about Hawkeye so far?
Well, Hawkeye, like the superhero, I honestly have to say that I have a really, really low expectations about him because he's just the arrow guy that go pew pew. But,
now I
respect him more.
Yeah, you know what I like that they're doing with this show?
It's consistent.
The thing about Hawkeye is of all the Avengers, I think it's pretty much a given that he is probably like the least likable, both in terms of the character and the actor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Jeremy Renner actually is a good actor, but they're not very like likable or charismatic. But what I like about the show Hawkeye is they kind of incorporate that into the show.
Exactly. Like, that's really
like,
fun.
He doesn't care about being likable. He's like, I've got a job to do. I'm just going to do it. Because there's that. So there's the young woman. What's her name? I can't think of her name right now. Anyway, most of the show revolves around Hawkeye and kind of this young girl protege.
I'm trying to remember the name of her actor.
And there's this conversation they have walking down the street where she's like, your problem is your branding is terrible. And he's like, well, I don't care about branding. She's like, yes, but you should. Like, I thought that was very kind of self-aware. Hawkeye is just not a very likable character. And acknowledging that, I think, was a really smart move.
Yeah, because like, and they're all kind of in their own way because like Captain America is like a patriot and like a symbol of America. And then, although I guess until he like rebelled against the government, but whatever. And like Tony Stark is like a billionaire and like a famous figure. And Thor is like, you know, a Norse god and stuff. But Hawkeye is just like, yeah, I'm just here to help.
Yeah. I thought it started off pretty slow. The first two episodes, they released two episodes at once. It started off pretty slow. It'll be interesting to see where they're going with it. Like I don't really have a good sense of like who the villain is or who they're trying to fight here. But maybe that's not such a bad thing. I like the dog. I don't know what the dog's name is. Does the dog have a name yet?
No, it doesn't.
I honestly have always liked Hawkeye. I feel like he was, and I know a lot of people who would agree, I feel like he was kind of the best part of Age of Ultron, which was a mess. But that was like the movie where they introduced like his family and stuff, and I don't know.
I have to say, like, I don't really care that the TV show doesn't have a direction. Like, it's completely okay because it feels like it's a clarifying thing. Like, it's just saying, I don't care of being popular.
The Rogers the musical was really funny.
Yeah,
it is. He attends a Broadway musical where it's like the story of the Avengers and especially Steve Rogers, and he's sitting in the audience and it's very cheesy, and you could just see him just thinking, oh, I hate this so much.
Yeah, and I like the little graffiti on the bath or on the urinal that said like Thanos is right. It's a pretty wacky story so far. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be this like lighthearted and like cheesy.
It's not serious
so
at all.
Yeah.
Prior to Hawkeye there were three Disney Plus shows, right? Mm-hmm. There's Loki, WandaVision, and Falcon the Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. I feel like their track record is good enough that I feel like this is going to be at least pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about the fact that it's been a little bit slow so far. I feel like the story will be pretty good. The you know, the production value is obviously really good. The writing seems to be pretty good. So,
and like Clint, aka Hawkeye, like he, for a guy who shoots arrows and like is a legitimate superhero and stuff, he actually feels like a real person. Like when he's interacting with his family, like I forgot how good Marvel is at this, but he feels like a real, like, yeah, like the dad of like some friend or whatever.
I kind of liked his kids because his kids, like, they don't look like, you know, I don't know, Nickelodeon or Disney kids that are like super good looking. They just look like normal kids. I kind of liked that. Like they look like they could be Jeremy Renner's kids, which means they're not going to be like super good looking.
Yeah. They're not super good looking. They're normal kids. That's finally.
I feel like Clint being just like a normal dad and like a realistic dad kind of like fits in with his character of being like, I'm not about branding or whatever. I'm just here to help.
Yeah.
I mean, if, for example, they had make a family for Iron Man or something like that, it would be normal that the family is not normal.
Yeah, and they did do that.
Yeah, they would be like super good looking or super smart or whatever.
Or super, like, they would be all super good at technology things. They would be good looking, of course, rich because they are sons of.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much all of them are in a family except for Hulk because he's weird, or Bruce Banner.
Or Black Widow because she's.
Well, Black Widow was in like a fake family.
But. Yeah, but she has a strange background, so
she cannot have children.
Yeah, but like Hawkeye is the most dad like.
Yeah,
like all of them are dads, but Hawkeye is the most dad ish.
Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a very important story about why human feet have been showing up in the Pacific Northwest beaches. Do you guys know about the story? It seems like we might have talked about this on the podcast. It's a little bit dark, a little bit gruesome. Either we talked about this on the podcast or we just discussed this at the dinner table one time, but mysteriously a bunch of just a human foot, like one human foot in a shoe, kept showing up on the beach. And there were all these theories about this, including serial killers and, you know, strange, you know, shark attacks and things.
Are they shooting like an art house horror movie?
But scientists believe they now understand, or at least the coroner of Vancouver Island now thinks they know why. Between 2007 and 2019, there have been over 21 feet, usually still in their shoes, and usually sneakers, this is important, and I'll explain why in a minute, were being found by beachgoers completely unattached. They're humans. Just a human foot would show up. And this was bothering a lot of people. And why were they showing up now? So even if it was a random occurrence, why were they showing up now and not in the past? The Vancouver Island coroner, Rose Stanton, told the CBC, the Canadian Broadcast Company, that she thinks she knows, or they think they know why the feet were showing up. So there were all kinds of theories, including serial killers or organized crime perhaps was involved. But now they think they know it was probably just accidental deaths or maybe suicides where people died out at sea. And what happens is, if you die out in the ocean, your body is quickly set upon by scavengers. And scavengers like crustaceans will usually attack the softer parts of the body. And on humans, soft parts include our ankles. So they would go after the ankles and they would bite off the ligaments. And as soon as you do that and you chew away the ligaments, the foot detaches pretty quickly. And the reason this didn't really happen before 2017 is because sneaker designs changed. The manufacturing of sneakers. Over the last few decades, sneakers have been made more of lighter foam and include air pockets. So as soon as the foot becomes detached, the sneaker floats to the top and then gets washed on shore. That's why they think this is happening.
Basically.
So, mystery solved.
So yeah, no one's like cutting off
Yeah, the coroner says it didn't really come up until we had running shoes that floated so well. Before, they just stayed down there at the bottom of the ocean.
Ooh. Makes sense.
Man, that's terrifying.
So,
I feel like that would be traumatizing, honestly, seeing like...
It would be a little disturbing if you came across a human foot.
The thing is that people die in the sea constantly. Like, you're swimming in a...
Yeah, but seeing it, like, up front...
Yeah. And especially if it's just a foot, but...
Yeah.
Now they think they know why it's just a foot. The rest of the body's out there somewhere. No one chopped off the foot. It probably just got attacked by scavengers.
Yeah.
And floated to the surface.
Like, I don't know.
The sea is a very scary place.
It is.
Isn't that true, Santi? You know, because you live on an island.
I mean, my island doesn't have an aggressive sea, and I'm already afraid of it.
I think it's good to have a healthy fear of the sea.
I mean, I'm not afraid of going in, of course, but I have a respect from it.
Yeah, you have to have a respect. Like, you know, you have to know your limits. Like, even if you're a really good swimmer, you shouldn't swim out so far that you can't
exactly.
see the land.
Completely. Like, no, if you don't see the land, you have done something terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's scary stuff.
Anyone want to share their story?
I will.
Yes, you will.
On the counter.
All right. Colorado man sets mom's home ablaze trying to clear cobwebs with blowtorch.
Colorado man. Florida man's taking the week off. Now Colorado man's trying to step up.
Wait, am I saying Colorado?
I should say Colorado.
Yeah, I'm just used to saying like the other one. Now I can't.
You say Colorado. That sounds a little closer to the Spanish word, but not the way it's said in America. It's like people who say Nevada. Don't say Nevada. Say Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see the difference, but I will still say Nevada.
It should be Nevada.
All right. So John Charles Streckenbach, 39, was arrested on suspicion of first-degree arson, criminal mischief, causing $20,000 to $100,000 in damages, possession of a controlled substance, and violation of a protection order, the Boulder Daily Camera reported. The thing is, like, so he was just trying to get, like, cobwebs off with a blowtorch. Like, there wasn't really, like, malicious intent, exactly.
Maybe not. I don't know. Don't use a blowtorch on cobwebs in your mom's house.
He really looks like a criminal, though.
Yeah, he really does.
Like, I think he might be a werewolf. He has, like, this beard that, like, connects all the way to his hair. And his hair
it's kind of a messy. Scary mugshot.
Yeah,
I wouldn't blame the poor man. Imagine just being in the situation. Seriously.
There are a few other details in the story, though, that make me think.
Investigators say the man acknowledged using blowtorch to clear cobwebs in the crawl space under the home, and he tried to put out the fire for an hour by himself before calling emergency crews.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's really suspicious.
The fire was extinguished by around 5:30 p.m. No one was injured in the fire, but it caused around $100,000 in damages. Dang.
Ooh.
According to an affidavit, the man had a court order barring him from being within 100 feet of the house and being around his mother, who lived in the house. His mother told investigators she had been allowing him to stay at the home recently because he is homeless. And he was also in possession of drugs.
You do have to wonder, there was something that happened that made him have a court order saying he had to stay away from the house and his grandmother. And it probably wasn't a good thing.
No.
Yeah.
So you gotta wonder a little bit, what was he doing under the house with the blowtorch?
Maybe that's super suspicious right now.
Very strange.
Like a drug addict under someone else's house.
So wait, his mom said he was allowed to be there, even though he also had a court order.
Well, I think it was
it's
one
for
of those,
defending the
yeah,
guy.
I think she was letting him stay there because he had no other options, but really he shouldn't have been there. Also, he had meth. And that's probably an important part of the story.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think he was just really, really stupid when he tried to get it out with a blowtorch. This person is 39, by the way. Like, you can't be fooling around doing this, like, accidentally, maybe not accidentally, setting your mom's house on fire and grandma's house on fire with a blowtorch.
It's better not to, for sure. Santi, you want to share your story?
Yeah, don't be dumb.
All right.
That's a takeaway.
So, Canada taps into strategic reserve to deal with massive shortage of maple syrup.
Oh, man.
So basically, this news talk about that the demand for maple syrup in Canada have aumented at 21%. And there is like more demand that amount of syrup that they can provide. So they have to go in their reserves. And they're like putting like pipes and everything into the trees, like in 3 million more. And it's just funny. Dang. But we were talking like before, Greg and I think Alton was also there, that China also has a strategic reserve of pork.
Yeah. Let's stop and reflect a little bit on the fact that Canada has a strategic reserve of maple syrup. Like, famously, yes, the United States has a strategic reserve of oil, and that makes sense. But I had no idea that Canada had a strategic reserve of maple syrup.
I don't know why, but I knew that they had because
it makes sense. I mean, they got a maple leaf on their flag.
I mean, the thing is that they are this 70% of the maple syrup of the world come from Canada.
Yeah.
It's a thing that economically it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, when I lived in New Hampshire when I was a little boy, and in New Hampshire and Vermont, like those states, they produce maple syrup also. And you would just be driving down the road and you would see trees that had like a bucket attached to them, like a tap like in them, spout, and they would be dripping sap into a bucket so they could collect it for maple syrup.
Yeah, the thing is, like, it's called like a stereotype that like Canada is obsessed with maple syrup, but like,
they have a strategic reserve of maple syrup, seriously. So it's definitely a thing. So the reason they were doing it is just because there's a shortage. They're trying to ramp up production. Is that what's going on?
Well, the thing that is going on is that they haven't produced as much as other years, and also the demand has increased at 21%.
Mm.
So maple syrup needs like specific conditions for it to be done.
Yeah, if I remember right, it's like warm days but very cold nights.
Exactly.
That would make it difficult.
Makes the
good
sap run.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So it hasn't happened this year, so they are running low on maple syrup.
That happened
the same with the strategic pork reserve of China last year. Like,
yeah, so you were telling us that China has a strategic pork reserve, and they had to release some pork because they just had a shortage of pigs, I guess?
No, because there was like a pandemic in the porks.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, dang.
Yes.
And a lot of pigs died.
A lot of pigs died, and it was so big, the amount of pigs that die in China. And it's so important, the pigs of China, that like you could see impact in the percentage of pigs on the world. That's massive.
And I think pork is like the main source of protein in China. Like, you know, here we might have chicken or beef and sometimes pork. But I think pork is the number one meat that they eat in China.
I'm not completely sure, but I have read a bit about it. And it seems like it's really important in holidays, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So there is like one specific holiday, I don't remember the name in China, that a lot of people go gathering with their families and eat pork. And the demand, because there is a lot of Chinese people in China, of course.
Yeah.
Well,
I had no idea.
But it's an incredible amount.
Yeah.
They consume a lot of pork.
Yeah, I remember when the pandemic was just first starting in the United States. It happened like right after the Chinese New Year, and a lot of people had traveled to China for Chinese New Year, and they were concerned about them coming back into the country because,
yeah,
you know, back then that's where a lot of the cases were. That's soon, pretty quickly became not the case, but I don't know.
Yeah,
no pun
at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one more story. This is an update of a story we did 6 years ago.
Oh, that's continuity.
Yes. So, and the reason I know it's 6 years ago is it is the sixth anniversary of the first time that Jamal Hinton and Wanda Dench met and ate Thanksgiving together. So that we did this story six years ago. There is a young man named Jamal Hinton, and he's an African-American. At the time, he was, doesn't say how old he was. I think he was like 18 or 17 at the time, maybe even younger. And he got a text message on his phone. It was a new phone for him, but there was a message saying, hey, are you coming over for Thanksgiving dinner? And he was like, new phone, who dis? But what he meant was, like, he knew it wasn't, like, intended for him, but he's like, hey, can I come over anyway? And the white grandmother who had sent the message, thinking she was sending it to her grandson, said, sure, come on over. And so for the last 6 years, they have spent Thanksgiving together. It's a really
that's wholesome
story. Yeah. She lives in Mesa, Arizona, and I think he lives somewhere nearby. Maybe they both live in Mesa, Arizona, but they've become really good friends. So every year they meet and have Thanksgiving together.
Oh, because of the area code, they would be nearby.
Yeah. And this kind of went viral on social media the first time it happened. And then every year there's a news story about it. Something a little bit sad is that Wanda Dench's husband actually passed away from COVID this year. So, and I know that he and his family showed up at the funeral. And he wrote a social media post this year, kind of updating everyone on it, saying, he wrote, he's blessed to have such wonderful people in our lives. This Thanksgiving, along with all the holidays coming up, aren't going to be the same as past ones, but we will make the best of it. Rest in peace to Lonnie, which was the husband, and everyone else we lost this year. We'll miss you greatly. Thank you for being in our lives. And Wanda Dench had written in response to an interview that she had given this week about what if she had not sent that text message 6 years ago. She said, I would have missed out on a wonderful relationship. I've changed my view so much on the younger generation. And now I've reflected back on all these years. I didn't change their lives. They changed mine. So
that is awesome. That's super cute.
Isn't it great?
Yeah that's great. Story.
It always pops up on my news feed like every year. And I see them again. And it just seems like they're...
That's wholesome.
Yeah.
It really sounds like something you can make like a children's picture book out of.
Yeah.
Like It sounds like a more like wacky Talk to Dad podcast story at first, but then it actually becomes like really wholesome and really sweet and kind of more and more as it goes on.
It's a good story. I like that one. Mm-hmm. All right, let's play a game. Isn't this fun? So in the past, we have done a game I call the dad joke game, where I give you the setup to a dad joke and you have to come up with the punchline, see if you can guess the punchline. I'm not going to do the dad joke game this year, or this episode. I'm going to do the Laffy Taffy joke game.
Oh no.
Oh, what's that?
Do you know about Laffy Taffys?
Oh no.
These are Laffy Taffys. They're little candies. And on the back of each Laffy Taffy, there are two jokes. They are terrible jokes.
Yeah.
Terrible jokes. Usually you can guess the punchline. They're almost never funny. Occasionally they'll be funny, but
they're probably what our country.
I love when companies do that though.
Every package, and I've got little fun size Laffy Taffys here. Every package has two jokes on it. What we'll do is we'll go around in a circle and see if you can guess the punchline from the setup. And if you can guess it, you will score a point. Henry will be back for treat yourself.
Yeah. Henry thought it was treat yourself.
There are treats involved.
Do we get to eat the Laffy Taffys?
Maybe later. Right now, we're just going to be reading off the packages.
Okay. Yeah.
Let me get a pen so I can keep score.
Okay.
One thing about eating Laffy Taffys, too, is you have to be really careful when, like, have you ever had candy where, like... Okay.
Right. That happened.
Have you ever had candy where, like, you, like, peel it wrong and, like, the wrapper gets all stuck and stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
Laffy Taffy is one of those. You can get, like, taffy stuck to the wrapper if you're not careful.
There is something similar to Starburst, but I think that better, that has that kind of wrapping in Spain. Mm. They are called Sugus.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
It's really annoying. It's especially because there is someone that it still have the thin layer of paper that you cannot see. Then you eat it, and it's like, oh, no, it has paper.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, anyways.
This candy that I'm holding right here is actually one of the most controversial American candies, the banana Laffy Taffy. People either love it or they hate it. It's got a really artificial banana flavor. I like them, but a lot of people hate them.
I need to try it.
You need to try it, but we'll do that later. Maybe we'll do that as like the first part of Treat Yourself.
Okay, I see.
But the first thing we're going to do, Will... You're going to go first.
All right.
This is a terrible joke.
This would be more painful than any treat yourself treat we've had. I got to say.
The first joke. What can make splits with no legs?
A banana? That's easy. It's literally banana flavored.
It is a banana. You get a point. That's not a good joke.
That's the easiest. No, but the thing is that I didn't know the joke. I'm scared.
Like a banana split. Yeah. See, yeah. Some of these.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be tough for you.
Oh, that's.
You have a disadvantage here because some of these are like English wordplay.
Oh, no.
But most of them are really stupid.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Here is your joke, Santi.
Hope you've been studying.
What can you call a car that never stops?
A car that never stops?
What can you call a car that never stops?
I don't know.
A cargo.
No! I even thought about that.
Nope, wrong one.
Ozone bomb.
That's just, it's not funny.
It's so
bad. It
doesn't bad.
Even make a lot of sense.
So okay, so I see.
Imagine how much of a disaster it would be if we had unstoppable cars. Not just because it would be chaotic, but it would also like kill the environment.
Here's my joke. What has teeth, but you don't need to brush? Has teeth, but you don't need to brush. I'm going to say it's a saw.
A few answers.
Okay, you're going overcomplicated.
I'm
going
to say it's a saw.
Overcomplicated.
It is a zipper.
See, there's lots of stuff with like non-human teeth.
Yeah, I mean, I was along the same lines, but
or non-animal.
I didn't get it right. Will, what type of research is also? I can't read this. Is also a sport.
What
type of research is also a sport?
I mean, anything.
Part of the key of getting this is thinking of like something that's just not funny.
Yeah,
like don't think of a funny joke.
Yeah, answer. Don't think of anything think of something clever.
I'm trying to practice thinking your jokes as well, but I'm not getting them.
That shouldn't be hard for you, Dan.
What type of research is also a sport?
Okay, I'm sorry, that was rude. See, Dad, you have like dad powers. Like,
yeah, you should get those.
Research, science, sports research. I mean, well, no, that's not a sport. I give up. I don't know.
Surfing.
What? I don't get it.
Surfing,
like the surfing
answer.
The
I
web.
Guess, like surfing the web is like doing research.
I didn't get it.
So these are submitted by readers, like
people,
or not readers, but like people can send in their jokes,
like,
and they're really bad.
I love it.
That is really, really bad.
I love that
surfing
initiative.
Is a type of research. All right, Santi, why did the candle get a round of applause? Why did the candle get a round of applause?
Because it's lit.
It was sensational.
Oh. Mine is better.
Yours might be better. Oh, that's really bad. And
this
here's mine.
With the teens.
What can you catch but not throw? I think it's a cold.
Oh, yeah. That's a cold. That's
it's your breath.
What?
It should be a cold. That's terrible.
Like they didn't even use the classic one. All right.
What do packages and social media share? What do packages and social media share?
What?
Never giving you what you want in life.
You have to think of something that's not at all
unnecessarily
funny.
Complicated.
Packages and social media. Oh, I think I know what it is.
Okay, send, envelope, mail.
Oof. I'm feeling the
tape. people like make videotapes of them like singing or whatever on social media, and you see tape there. I don't know.
Any thoughts?
Not the single
I have no
one.
Idea.
Go ahead.
I think it's gonna be like you get notifications.
What?
This says a postal system.
Oh my goodness!
That is really bad.
It's really bad.
Really,
wait,
really
what
bad.
Would notifications have to do with it?
I don't know.
Oh, like
I
note.
Mean, you get notifications for your social media, and you get a notification that you've got a package. It's not funny.
I mean, neither is this.
Santi,
explain differently.
What's clever and can fit in your hand?
What's clever and I can fit in my hand? My phone.
A smartphone. I'm going to give
that
to
you. Oh, my goodness. I get this.
But you didn't get, like, the joke.
It's pretty close, though. It's pretty close.
All right. I mean, please.
All right. It's tied 1-1.
Sweet.
I had to buy a whole package of candy. This also has Nerds and Gobstoppers in it.
Man, I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm going to find these candies.
Don't worry.
I'll hide them so well. They also have Sweet Tarts. I think Sweet Tarts might be one of the worst candies.
Sweet Tarts are good. What are you talking about?
I haven't tried them.
Gobstoppers are pretty bad.
Bottle caps are just better Sweet Tarts.
I suspect these are leftover from Halloween. Mm-hmm. All right. My question. We'll do one more round after this. What is a vampire's favorite fruit? I think I know it.
You think so?
A nectarine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no! How can it not be a nectarine? It's a blood orange.
What?
I mean, I get it, but it should be nectarine. Nectarine's a better punchline.
It's better. Like, we're going with better punchlines. I'm still proud of my lead. I'm still proud of my lead.
That was pretty good. Will.
Yeah, yours is better.
Where should you never take dogs shopping?
Petland.
Where should you never take dogs shopping?
Wait, the mall, the... I don't know. Macy's, JCPenney's, Nordstrom.
You're advertising a lot of stores.
Vinyls, maybe they'll judge your music taste.
I don't think so.
The Apple Store? I don't think anyone
should
go to the
Apple
Store.
Just some things about dogs, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they like to play fetch. They like bones. They eat meat or dog food if you're,
any guesses?
If you're a good owner. Like something to do with cats? I have no idea.
The flea market.
I was thinking like different kinds of stores than that.
Sounds wait,
you
don't
right.
Oh, yeah, I guess you kind of do. I don't know.
What was the judge's drink order? So what did the judge order as a drink?
Oh, I see. Coffee.
This is bad. It is a joke. It's a bad joke.
It's a joke? Okay, so I have to actually think.
It's better than most of these jokes. I'll give them that.
I don't really know.
Just ice.
I
was thinking he'd like
this
order.
This is painful.
It's pretty bad. All right, here is mine. All it says is, I need to fix my pen. I need to fix my pen. I don't know what that is. I need to fix my pen.
You're dumb.
My pen is broken. My ink is running
sounds
all
like
over the place.
Line.
Ink is leaking. I don't know what the do you have any tips?
What?
I guess because
like the tip
have
of the
tips.
Yeah, that one's a hard one to make like a game.
It's not good. That's not good.
Wait, aren't there two jokes per?
Are we done? Thing? Do we want one more round? Or are we done?
That was a full round?
Yeah, that was a full round.
That was like three rounds.
Oh, okay. I'm done.
We're done? I think we're done.
I think we're done.
All right. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
And for the first part of treat yourself, we need Santi to try one of the most controversial candies in America, the banana Laffy Taffy.
Okay, this is like chewy.
Can I also
It is. It's like a chewy candy.
Thank you.
Ooh, this looks really plasticky.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to mute the mic so we're not chewing it into the mics. So, Santi, what do you think of banana Laffy Taffys?
Okay. So, for putting you in context, I'm going to first tell a story. So, not a story, but a situation. You're in the port, like in the part of the port of the fisher people, like the fishing people.
Fishermen. Where the fishermen are.
Mm-hmm. And you can smell the alkitran in the ambient from different ships that they are repairing as well. This is what it tastes like.
It tastes like ships being repaired.
It tastes like paint from ships.
And you don't like that, I assume.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Wait, like the paint from ships?
Not the paint, but the insulation.
The chemically smell that you get when... interesting. If you had to rate it on a scale of gross to delicious, what would you call it?
Meh.
Meh. All right.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
I would give it a delicious.
I also have for treat yourself today some Christmas versions of candy. We have M&M snowballs.
Cool.
They're white chocolate pretzel M&Ms. We have Reese's peanut butter cups with peanut brittle.
Oh, no.
They are peanut brittle flavored cream with crunchy peanut butter.
You expect me to be brave.
We have Hershey's sugar cookie candy bar. It is sugar cookie flavored white cream with cookie pieces. And finally, we have Lifesaver gummy wreaths in green apple and cherry.
Okay, these also... Oh, green apple and cherry.
Yeah, because they're red and green for Christmas. So...
These all sound really good, honestly.
Which of these should we try first?
Maybe the Hershey's. Doesn't get stuck in your mouth.
All right, we'll try the Hershey's
and then the
sugar cookie.
And then the Reese's. Because I just want to get rid of the Reese's fast.
You don't like Reese's peanut butter cups?
Oh, really? Those are like our mom's favorite.
They're a very popular, extremely popular.
Man, only horrible people don't like Reese's. By the way, I'm here for treat yourself.
Henry is here for treat yourself.
That's needed an introduction.
Santi's not horrible.
This is the...
Thank you.
He just has a horrible
Hershey's
opinion.
Sugar cookie, so it's like a Hershey's Christmas cookie.
Looks colorful.
Yes, it's got little red and green... specks in it. What do you guys think?
Amazing.
It's an animal cracker.
That's what I was thinking. It's like a frosted animal cracker.
It does remind me of animal cracker. I like it. I think it's delicious.
It's a delicious, yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And if you don't love frosted animal crackers, then you're not a human.
I love it.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicious.
Wow. Four deliciouses on the Hershey sugar cookie.
Yeah, it does taste like a store-bought sugar cookie.
I think
like
that exactly the thing like is one. That if you would eat more, you wouldn't like it as much.
Yeah.
It's super sugary.
It is, yeah, but it's good.
Oh, I'm seeing the thing that we're going to eat. I'm just... Oh.
It's different, though.
I'm getting a knife so I can cut this Reese's peanut butter cup. It is a king-size Reese's peanut butter cup. I'm cutting
big,
it into pieces so each of us can try it.
Oof. Oof. You're actually asking me to be brave.
Yeah. You really don't like... Reese's peanut butter cups, huh?
I don't, but I will eat it. What?
Is it because of the peanut butter? You're just not a big fan of peanut butter?
I'm not a big fan of peanut butter in it.
Thoughts?
I really like it, honestly. I like peanut brittle, personally. I know it's controversial. That's a delicious, though.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso!
May I say something?
Yes.
I may say something. Move over. I need to get to the microphone.
You need to say something.
Okay, that's a dramatic entrance.
Okay, so I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and they're like one of my favorite candies. However, this is an abomination to the taste buds. The texture is so inconsistent. It's like you can't have like the smoothness of the peanut butter and then also like whatever it is of the white chocolate and then also the crunchy peanut butter. It just doesn't work. This is horrible. I'm going to give it a meh. I didn't spit it out.
M-E-H. Meh.
This Santi. Is completely disgusting.
Ew.
Seriously?
That is so gross.
And I'm going to round this out. I thought it was okay. We got all four.
I was hoping we got all four.
We got all four. So the first one was a unanimous delicious. This one, we had all four rankings.
But completely disgusting. Like, it's just completely disgusting.
So, is it worse than a normal?
Just okay. I thought, like, a regular peanut butter cup would be better. I sort of hear what Henry's saying about the texture is a little odd, but
also the Santiago, taste, white chocolate doesn't work with peanut butter.
Do you think it's worse than a normal Reese's peanut butter cup? Or like
both of them are disgusting, but this is even worse. Like this
I
is
do agree it's worse.
It's just so bad. I just can't describe how bad I feel about eating this. I completely regret every single bite of that it was only one.
All right, let's try the M&M's.
I thought it was pretty good. I don't know.
This is M&M. This is white chocolate with pretzels, like a pretzel M&M with white chocolate.
All right. I'm really excited for this one.
It's going to be good.
So the M&M snowballs come in like dark blue and light blue and white. What do we think of them?
I really like them. Those taste very like Christmassy.
I also liked them. I'm going to give them delicious and...
Yum, 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 yum.
And also, what I do like about these is that they... It feels like, you know how, like, snowballs, like, actual snowballs will, like, sometimes they'll be, like, you know, like, the ones that melt less, and they're sort of, like, crunch. It feels like you just took, like, a
snowball
and then just put it in your mouth and crunched it.
It's just like scooping up some snow off the ground and shoving it in your mouth.
It's kind of true, though. And it's good. It's good.
Santi?
I will give them an okay and no commentaries.
They're okay. I could go either way on this one. I could say it's okay or delicious, but... I'm going to give it a delicious. So three deliciouses and one okay. And then the last one we have are gummy Lifesaver Gummies Wreaths.
They come in
cherry and green apple.
I've said before that M&M's has pretty good varieties on this podcast. Yeah.
Green apple is not always my favorite flavor, but we'll see how these work out. What do you guys think of Lifesaver Gummy Wreaths? Can I say one thing first? Right. I'm a little disappointed they didn't make them look like Christmas leaves. They're just regular... Lifesaver gummies.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that's just all packaging.
Yeah.
And just
that said, what do you think of the way they taste?
Delicious.
I actually like Lifesaver's gummies. I might give this one okay, though.
Santi and Henry and myself say delicious.
Yum, yum, yum,
maybe
yum,
a
yum,
high
yum.
Okay.
Delicioso.
But Will says they're just okay.
Or no, just an okay.
So it looks like Hershey's sugar cookie was the only one that had all delicious.
It was pretty.
Lifesaver's gummies comes in second with three deliciouses.
I think even though I like the Reese's peanut butter cup.
Wait, the M&M's I had three deliciouses too, right?
Yeah.
And one okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the most controversial by far was the Reese's Big Cup Peanut Brittle, which had every single rating.
I am right.
Even though I liked it, Santiago's monologue about it was pretty legendary.
So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thank you, Santi and Henry. And
thank you.
Thank you, Santi and Will, for being on the podcast. Thank you, Henry, for joining us for
thank
Treat
you
Yourself. And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talkdadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at talkdadpodcast on Instagram and Facebook or at TTDpodcast on Twitter. If you like the show and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And the second thing you can do is leave us a good review wherever you found the podcast. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps other people be able to find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-